Well, greetings, everybody. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, maybe some particular issue in life that's troubling to you, you're struggling with, well, we cordially invite you right now to call 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. Our good friend Andrew Farley is with us today. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, great to be with you, Bob.
Well, it's always good to be with you. I just love our partnership and our friendship and just being able to share the Lord together like we do on this broadcast. And I just admire you so much and all that God is doing in your life, and glad we can share in that together, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it has been a couple of decades now at least, and it's always a privilege to be able to chat with you about Jesus and to just celebrate his finished work together.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know a lot of people woke up this morning with that horrific news story, kind of really just eating away at their guts and their souls, and a story of the of George Floyd being arrested and then ended up dying, and the horrific videos that were out there that kind of shows the details of what happened. It just disgusts you on the inside, and everybody is seemingly saying, well, what can we do to fix this? How can we solve these kind of problems? And you know, that's a tough answer when you look at it from a worldly perspective, and that's where the gospel of Jesus Christ really comes into play. I love this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 12. It says, "We're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." And then he goes on to say, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer." But what struck me about this, Andrew, was the fact that we, from a human perspective, from a worldly perspective, we make judgments based on outward appearances. But God is always looking at the heart, and this gospel message is about doing something inside the heart. And if we're going to address systemic problems, if we're going to address prejudice and racism and those sort of things, we have to take a look at the heart, don't we?
Absolutely. And, you know, the kind of heart that we get as Christians, I'm not even sure that we are certain about that. You survey the Christian world and everybody's saying you got to examine your heart, you got to test your heart, you can't trust your heart, you've got a wicked heart. On and on it goes, and we've got mixed messages, and we really need to get back to the heart of Christianity and say, well, what is it that salvation did for me? Is it just forgiveness of sins and a new place to go? I mean, is God a divine travel agent who just changes our itinerary for the rest of our days, and we've got a new place to go when we die? Or is there a heart surgery? Is there a radical exchange at the core of our being? Well, Romans 6 says we became obedient from the heart. And in the Old Testament, it says that God would one day take out our hearts of stone and give us a new heart. And so we need to recognize that we have this new heart as believers, and that's exactly what the unbeliever needs. They can reform their speech. They can change their vocabulary. They could get more educated. And these are the solutions that the world offers. They believe a little bit more schooling will be the answer. That, you know, if you would just change the words that you use to address people, that that'll fix everything. Well, you can't legislate love. And so that's why the gospel really is the answer for every human heart. And so when God cleans house and then he moves in, what we see in the gospel is an exchange of personhood, and it affects our desire. It affects the love that we have for other people. It affects every aspect of our lives. So it's not a clean yourself off and dust yourself off and improve your behavior system. It really does start with a heart transplant. And when we understand that, then we see, oh, I've really got a message for the world. I've got a message about Jesus that is real. And when he said, I've come to give you life, he meant it, and he gives us this new heart, and it is the answer to every human problem.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest things that this verse really brings out, Andrew, in my mind, is the fact that we make judgments, we make comparisons, we compare ourselves to others, and in doing so, we're either going to judge ourselves to be inferior or superior. And that's where prejudice comes from, is that comparison and looking at another person and saying, I'm better than that person. I am much better in every way, shape, or form. And that becomes a line of division between you and that person. But when you have this new heart from Jesus Christ, when you've been made new at your very core, then you're able to actually treat another human being as who they really are as far as God is concerned. You see them through God's eyes. You see them from God's perspective and not your human perspective. And that changes everything. And that's when you can begin to embrace your fellow man. That's when you can actually learn to love your fellow man, when you're able to see them at the heart level and to recognize that they are loved just as you are loved in Christ. And that is such a radical departure from the world, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, Paul calls it not recognizing people according to the flesh. And, you know, we tend to do that. Somebody has a high power job, so to speak. They make a lot of money. They influence a lot of people. They're a coach of this team or a player for that team. Or maybe they're a high powered attorney. They get a lot of big cases, or they're a successful surgeon. I mean, whatever it might be, we're used to showing favoritism out there. We're used to giving people a better seat. We're used to treating people differently based on their performance and their socioeconomic status and so on and so forth. And you talk about what happened today. I mean, in this news story about the blatant mistreatment of someone based on labeling them. I mean, this is rampant, not just in the United States. It's a human thing. It's across the world. And that's what we're saying, is that there's a way to look at people through the cross and the resurrection. There's a way to look at people through Jesus and say, God, I want to think your thoughts about this person. I don't want to think thoughts based on my upbringing, my programming, what mom and dad might have taught me or said. I don't want labels and categories for people. I want to look at this person through your lens, through the way that you see them. And when we take on those attitudes, Bob, it's not just loving another person, it is also resonating with who we are. I mean, we are lovers of other people by nature. I mean, God poured out his love in our heart by the Holy Spirit, and he gave us that new heart. He bonded us with himself. He united us with Christ. We're seated in heavenly places. I mean, this is not just Bible talk. This is the fact that God transformed us at a gut level, at a spiritual gut level, and he put his love for other people, he put it inside of us for a reason, so that we could be aligned in our attitudes and actions. We can be aligned with his thoughts, and we can get that renewing of the mind. And from there, we just continue to depend on Christ, and he's all about loving people, not labeling them.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is with me today. Glad you are listening as well. If you would like to weigh in on the topic, we would love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We would love to talk with you on today's broadcast. Andrew, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We rely on contributions from friends and listeners all across this country, and we certainly would love for you to be a part of the team. If you're a new listener and if you would like to come alongside with us and help put this good news of Jesus Christ out there in the world through all the various media channels that we are able to access today, we invite you to come and be a part of Basic Gospel Nation. You can do so by going to basicgospel.net and click on the donate button and follow all of the instructions there. Also, we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It's my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and it is my story of trying harder to be God's guy and falling flat on my face and learning about this way of grace, the grace that saves, not only saves us, but sustains us in our lives as believers. We want to put that in your hands. It's our thank you gift for your financial gift to Basic Gospel this month. Again, go to basicgospel.net, click on the donate link, and follow all the instructions right there. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. Andrew, let's go to our phone lines, and we're going to start in El Monte, California, and talk with Joanne. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. So nice to talk with you guys again. Talked with you last week.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Well, right now I'm doing okay. I have to have oxygen. I'd be on oxygen for a while.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, when I first came to know the Lord, the only thing I knew was to get my sins forgiven. I got my sins forgiven. And that was in 1976. I'm 76 now, but it was 1976. I see Jesus Christ. I just heard about the sin issue and all that. And but there's one thing I never doubted, and that was I'd never lose my salvation because Jesus said so. That did it for me.
Well, that's taking Jesus at his word and resting in what he said. And good for you, yeah. Joanne. Andrew, Joanne called last week and let us know that she had been diagnosed with the coronavirus, and I think is coming through that. And she just brought to the airwaves last week this amazing eternal perspective, this confidence and assurance in the Lord. And you could see that she is anchored to the love of Jesus Christ, and that was such an encouragement to us. And Joanne, we just continue to pray for you, and we're glad that you're getting the full story, that you've recognized that salvation is much more than forgiveness. It's about new life in Christ and Christ coming to live inside of you. That's the full story, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I got it. Yeah.
Well, good for you, Joanne.
The Lord finally gave that, got that into my head.
Yeah.
So he got... Thank you, guys, also.
Well, thank
for
you.
Teaching me.
Well, Joanne, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you know, Bob, it just makes me think of Hebrews chapter 2. It talks about how Jesus frees us from this fear of death. I mean, we're confronted with the coronavirus. We're confronted with cancers. You know, I just attended the funeral of the chairman of my board, Joel Tardy, a dear friend of mine for more than a decade. You know Joel as well. He's a good friend of the ministry. And, yeah, he's a tremendous man. And just to go celebrate his life, you think about all the cancers and now this pandemic and then so many different infirmities that we can take on as frail human beings. And then Hebrews 2 says we don't have to be afraid, that Jesus frees us from the fear of death, and we're subject to that fear all our lives. Without Christ, we're wondering what will happen, what is next for me, what is behind the curtain when everything fades to black, what is next. And, you know, Joanne, she is in the right frame of mind, having this dependency on Jesus and knowing that there is no fear, that perfect love casts out fear. And so glad to hear that you're getting better, more healthy, and really glad that you're connected with Basic Gospel. So thanks for your call today, my friend.
Yeah, Joanne, and keep us posted, okay? Let us know how you're doing.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, I still haven't been able to get on to the subscribe to the
Yeah, that's okay.
To the daily, you know.
Let me put you on hold, Joanne, and we'll see if we can help you with that. Okay. Thanks
maybe
again for your.
Maybe Andrew can, because I get his
we'll take care of
Gmail.
It for sure. Yeah, we'll make sure you're on it, and it's a post, it's a email that people can receive regularly from Basic Gospel with all kinds of encouraging good news from Scripture. So we'll make sure that gets to you.
Yeah, hold on, Joanne, okay. And we'll take care of that for you. Okay, thanks for your call. Well, let's go to Arizona and talk to our friend Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Bob, Andrew. Thank you so much for taking my call. My my question comes from 2 John, verse 8. John writes, "Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward." Now, we know that we receive everything by grace in Christ. Jesus is grace. So my question is, what is it that we've worked for, and what reward, singular, do we win?
Question, Greg. Well, you know, you look at surrounding verses, and it looks to me like some people are running ahead and they're not continuing in the teaching of Christ. So they're missing the gospel message. They're either distorting it, twisting it. They've been distracted from it. And so there's no reward in believing error. So don't imagine this about some heavenly gift shop where you're cashing in certificates that are redeemable there. Don't imagine this to be about a bigger mansion or more square footage or more jewelry to hang around your neck. That's not really the context. What he's talking about here is keep on in what you heard from the beginning, because verse 7, there are many deceivers. And these deceivers, they don't acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And so, you know, any such person is a deceiver and is anti-Christ. They are anti-Jesus. So the reward he's talking about here is this. Look, if you believe in the cross, there's a tremendous reward to that belief. There's a payoff. There's a benefit. I mean, Jesus' promise was life and life more abundant. So you better believe there's an incredible benefit to taking in the gospel message and investing in Christ. There's a benefit to knowing the resurrection and to knowing that resurrection life lives in you. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a present day benefit of knowing Jesus Christ and trusting in him versus those who don't. You know, there are many believers in that day, but there are also many deceivers. And the deceivers are misleading the masses And they are unfortunately causing many to miss out on the benefits of knowing Christ. So it's not about heavenly reward. It's about present day benefit of knowing Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, as our life.
Yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up or make a follow-up comment and get your thoughts on it?
Sure.
Could it also be, I know my own experience, I was saved at 14. I am now 63. And Andrew, I'm so glad you're on the program today, because God used you 3 years ago to help me understand grace and the new covenant. Before that, my four decades of Christian experience was rededicating myself, and then later on throwing up my hands because I just couldn't keep from sinning.
Yeah.
And it was so frustrating. Could it be that he is saying you're missing out on the reward of enjoying your Christian life right now, recognizing that Jesus did it all and you've got it all, and having that peace?
Absolutely. I mean, it says if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, don't take them into your house. So, you know, the teaching was a teaching of good news. The teaching was a teaching of a finished work. The teaching was the teaching of God's grace. And if someone comes to your house and they're wanting to bring a different teaching to you, don't take it in. Don't entertain it. So they are seeking to preserve the purity of this message, whatever it takes. And for the very reason that you described there, my friend, I mean, Jesus said that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. So what do you think deceivers are going to come do? They're going to bring you a message that is heavy, that is weighty, that is going to hang around your neck, and it is going to bring you down. But the truth always builds you up in Christ. The truth always sets you free. So absolutely, this is about preservation of the gospel message, so that all the work that John has put in as an apostle, as a messenger of this gospel, so that all the work he has put in will bear fruit in their lives, and they will know Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, one follow-up verse. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. That's the reward. We get God when we believe, when we believe the truth. And he's going to abide in us, and we're going to abide in him. And it doesn't get any better than that.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Well, Greg, thanks for your call. Always good to hear from you, my friend. Well, we've got just a few minutes, and let's see if we can take this call from Denver, Colorado. Sean, you're on the line.
Hey, how you doing there, brothers?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
A bit of a comment. I don't know if you've seen a video of the lady who said she was being attacked by the black guy in New York in Central Park. And I just want to comment, what she did was wrong. You know, how she reacted, that was wrong. But now she lost her job. She had a dog taken away. And it's just years ago, you know, I'm 55. I'm from back east. Chances are, yeah, he may have got arrested. But also, they would have talked it out. They would say, hey, look, I'm sorry. Now we're just jumping on the bandwagon. Oh, she's this, she's that. And it's like we're just throwing people under the bus for the littlest things. First and foremost, we need to get into the Word. We need to start praying and asking God to guide us. Yeah, how she reacted was wrong. It was like, again, for her to get fired and now she's ostracized. And I mean, was that really right? You know, it's like that seems what it is nowadays. We all want to throw each other on the bandwagon of, oh, he did this, so he must be that. She did this, she must be that, and so on.
Well, that's kind of the way of the world. We're quick to condemn, we're quick to judge, and very slow to extend mercy and grace. And that's what the world needs at this particular time, mercy and grace. And that's only found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So, Sean, thank you. Thanks for your call. We're out of time on this edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew, gosh, it's always good to be with you, and time flies by when you and I are together.
Yes, I loved every minute of it, Bob. Thanks so much.
Well, you are welcome. We'll look forward to having you back next week. Again, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We certainly appreciate all of our listeners who stand with us and contribute month in and month out so that we can continue to broadcast this good news. We need more of you to stand with us, and we would love to have more of you stand with us and be a part of Basic Gospel Nation. If you would like to join the team, go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and let us know that you want to be a part of Basic Gospel Nation and supporting us with your prayers and your finances. We have a wonderful resource, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We want to put that in your hands. So go to Basic Gospel right now. Well, this is Bob Christopher. So for the entire team, we'll see you tomorrow at this same time.